Stamford, Connecticut to Tokyo, Japan, from the Florida Everglades to Mexico City, and wherever pile drivers, power bombs, and high spots are taking place.
That thing gives us, it's about to pick up!
This is Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. This is Calf Crusher Radio.
Oh my God!
Here are your hosts, Mike, Hammy, and King.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of Calf Crusher Radio. Live every Wednesday night, talking all things pro wrestling without that PG filter. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is, as always, Michael. No longer hipster punchy Falcone, back from the dead, I see.
Yes, I am. I did a healing spell, rolled an 18 on a D20, and I'm back.
Someone cast Cure 3 and brought Punchy back to life. And
It's fitting. I'm back from the dead like Jon Snow. I am a bastard, too. Huzzah.
And joining us, not on Skype, from the Alexa Bliss fan club headquarters is Mr. King, who unfortunately died succumbing to injuries via foot surgery. So rest in peace, buddy. You will be solely missed.
Solely missed.
Yeah. And on Alexa Bliss's birthday, of all days to die, you pick Alexa Bliss's birthday. So Alexa Bliss can't be stalked on her birthday by you because you're dead. Anyhow, moving on. So it is just Mike and I tonight.
Well, I must say, though, before we get to the main thing, and it is fitting. It's just he's gone too soon. He was looking forward to that paperwork from Alexa.
We were looking forward to having a restraining order from Mr. King framed in our studio, but I'm sure we can ask Alexa to file one anyway, because I'm sure he has stalked her at some point. Moving on, top story, Mike. You know what? Usually I lead the top story. What say you? What say you is the top story of this evening?
So, all right. Now, as everybody probably knows, because WWE is doing their best to point it out at every walk, John Cena is getting close to breaking the recognized world title reigns record that Ric Flair
currently tied with Ric Flair at 16.
Yep. So, a question was posed, if now is the time to put Cena on the name of all-time greats. So, I mean, he's got a body of work that will include now the record for title reigns. I believe he's also a triple crown champion. I'm trying to remember if he won the tag titles ever. That I can't remember, but he's definitely won the U.S. and 16 world titles. So, and he's won the U.S. twice. I'm trying to remember if he's been a tag champ. I'm not sure about that. He may have early in his run, but the credentials are there to make an argument. It's one of those, like, I'll put it this way. It's the wrestling equivalent of LeBron James, like, 2 or 3 years from now. Whether he wins titles or not.
He is a four-time world tag team champion, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
He's won them all.
The only thing he has not won is the Intercontinental title. So, I mean, and let's be honest, before he retires, they'll probably, like, swing in an Intercontinental title reign just to say that he's a Grand Slam champion.
He is 16 reigns as heavyweight champion, 5-time United States champion, 4-time World Tag Team champion, and he is a Money in the Bank ladder match winner in 2012, a 2-time Royal Rumble winner, and a 3-time Superstar of the Year in the Slammy Awards. Cena has the fourth highest number of combined days as WWE champion behind Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, and Hulk Hogan. He has also headlined WWE's biggest show of the year, WrestleMania, 5 different occasions at WrestleMania 22, 23, 27, 28, and 29.
Yep. Yeah, wow. Two of those, the last two with The Rock, I believe.
Yes, last two with The Rock, and the year before that was with The Miz. 22, I believe he faced off against Triple H, and 23, he faced off against Shawn Michaels. So, We need to accept it, guys. John Cena is a GOAT. He's hands down arguably the GOAT as far as accomplishments in the ring, matches that he's had with people, because we have always said on this show, give John Cena the right opponent and he can give you a five-star classic. Folks, he has had a lot of five-star classics with people. Even with Triple H, WrestleMania 22, let's just go through those WrestleManias. I call that a five-star classic with Triple H. I definitely call that a five-star classic with Shawn Michaels at 23. 27 with The Miz was a decent match, but it was still good. That first match with The Rock at 28 was awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
was fucking awesome. The second one was, many close finishes.
Okay, the second one, though, also don't forget The Rock tore his, like, pectoral muscle early in the match. I mean, all right, listen. I don't know if I would give the Triple H match a five-star. It was a decent match. The Shawn Michaels one I can definitely say was up there. But the Cena top-shelf match listing, it's been padded as of the last 3 or 4 years. And I think that has a lot to do with the talent around John Cena. This is the equivalent of the centerpiece finally getting the pieces around them to make that player on a team look a lot better. Like the quarterback finally getting an offensive line and wide receivers to throw to.
Yeah, John Cena wasn't always the current generation New England Patriots. It was all him and nobody to work with. But let's list off a few of his opponents that have brought five-star classics out of John Cena. You first off had Triple H and Shawn Michaels, who are two on the GOAT list, if you ask me.
I think Triple H debatable as far as getting a five-star match in the Cena.
Shawn Michaels, definitely.
Shawn Michaels, yeah, you can definitely say that.
He had a lot of classics with Edge. He had a lot of classics with Randy Orton.
Kurt Angle. Okay.
The Undertaker, when he feuded with him. Guys, by the way, remember, John Cena did it once feud with The Undertaker.
Well, let's be honest, though, with Randy Orton. They've had a couple good matches, but for the most part...
They had so many matches together, it averages out to an okay rivalry, but he had a lot of good matches with Randy Orton. CM Punk, I don't think there's been a bad match between them.
No.
I don't think they produce anything lower than a four-star match.
Daniel Bryan.
Kevin Owens.
Yep. Sami Zayn.
And just a couple of weeks ago, just last week, Shinsuke Nakamura. Yep.
AJ Styles.
Yeah, he had... arguably our 2017 match of the year at the Royal Rumble this year with AJ.
Who else did he have a top shelf match with?
Umaga. Yeah.
William Regal. His accent. I don't know. The Rollins match too. I just saw a picture of that. Like that. With the exception of the screwy finish, that was a pretty good one. He had some good ones against JBL when he won the title from JBL.
So here's according to IGN. Not in any particular order. Here's what IGN ranks. And granted, this was published in summer 2015. So let's see if we missed any of them. John Cena versus JBL in an I Quit match from Judgment Day 2005. That was a bloody amazing match. Versus Rob Van Dam, One Night Stand 2006. Great match.
Okay. I don't know if that was a great wrestling match. It was a great, like, entertainment type match.
But as we remember...
with, like, the crowd, with some of the spots, with, like, the interference at the end, done, like, Paul Heyman doing the three count to crown Rob Van Dam, the WWE champion.
But remember, a great wrestling match is more than just in-ring performances. It's the atmosphere. It's the crowd. It's the environment. And you can't tell me that One Night Stand 2006... was not the best crowd ever that you've ever seen in a wrestling show.
It made the day after WrestleMania during the rain segment look tame.
Yeah. Cena was heavily booed, and when I mean heavily booed, I mean you could not even imagine how much that crowd hated him. Yet he brought a great match. He went a little heel in the match. He played a great heel against Rob Van Dam. And like we said, the booking of the match, the pace of the match, it was great. That match, due to the crowd and due to the outcome, that is a five-star classic to me with Cena.
I won't say five stars, but that was a markout moment for me.
I think Cena and Edge's best match was actually listed right here on IGN. TLC match at Unforgiven 2006. This was when Cena defeated Edge at his own game, and that I remember that build up. That was Edge saying, "I am unbeatable at this match." And Cena, this was in the just in the start of the LOL Cena wins. Yep. But that match was still amazing to watch.
The Cena overcomes the odds era.
It was. That was the start of it. And let's not forget, probably one of the best TV matches we've ever seen. John Cena versus Shawn Michaels on Raw in April 2007. This match, guys, if you want to see how to orchestrate and how to book a instant classic wrestling match, just watch this match. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. John Cena and Shawn Michaels gave us an hour of arguably the best TV wrestling you'll ever see. Definitely surpassed their WrestleMania 23 classic and arguably is one of the best TV matches in history.
I agree. What do you think, Dead King?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's not dead. It does involve Alexa Bliss. Okay, moving on. He thinks it sucks. And one of John Cena and Randy Orton's classic matches between the other, I Quit match, Bragging Rights 2009. That was pretty decent. Yeah, I guess what we're getting at is, folks, John Cena has had an incredible amount of great matches over his career.
Okay, the next one is Batista at WrestleMania. I refuse to put Batista in a top match.
It was
ever.
Decent. I wouldn't call it a great match. I call it a
It was an okay match.
This is one of the matches on this list I disagree with IGN. John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, Extreme Rules match in 2012.
The better one was SummerSlam a couple years ago.
Well, yeah, because that's what we all wanted to see. And, of course, John Cena versus CM Punk in February. That was when Punk was fighting Cena for his Royal Rumble opportunity.
Oh, no,
to be in the main event. Versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. We went over that one already. At Elimination Chamber 2015 with Kevin Owens. John Cena has had a storied career. A First Bound Hall of Fame career, arguably one of the best careers for any wrestler in history. He's not only this generation's Hulk Hogan. I think he's certainly a better wrestler than Hulk Hogan. He certainly had better matches over his career than Hulk Hogan. And dare I say, Hulk Hogan back then had a lot of memorable stars around him. Cena for a few years, at least until CM Punk rose from the ashes of that PG era. Cena was the only cat around.
Okay, I will say this, though. I think we've put Cena on the all-time greats list. It should be at the expense of Hogan. Because let's be honest, it's pretty much the same push that each other got. The difference is, though, while Hogan made sure that push was maintained by cutting the rug out from under everybody else in the company.
Well, yeah, Hogan refused to lose to anyone, basically. And
Cena's been putting over people left and right lately.
Especially lately. And one has to commend John Cena on a lot of things that he's doing now. A lot of wrestlers just simply don't want to give up their main event spot. And even though John Cena is above the mid-card slot, he's just below the main event slot, he's not in the main event anymore. But he still brings a lot of attention to a card. Well, what he did on this past week's SmackDown with Baron Corbin's stock has gone up exponentially because that one interaction with John Cena, even though it was at his expense.
Well, I mean, Baron Corbin's promos sound like an Orton promo, so it makes sense.
Fair enough. Except Baron Corbin, I think, is a little far worse in the ring than Randy Orton. But, I don't know how anyone cannot put John Cena on their all-time greats list. He's certainly on my all-time greats list. I don't think that he's the best wrestler I've ever seen. I still wouldn't put him on my personal top five favorite wrestlers of all time.
He's
definitely on the top 10. Like, as far as contributions to the business, combined with great matches versus great title reigns versus significance that he brought to the titles that he had, I don't know how you can put John Cena on anything but your all-time greats list. He has to be there. He single-handedly, for a few years, carried a very mediocre WWE roster. He carried an entire promotion on his back. And now, I respect him far more now than I ever have because of what he's doing with younger talent. He let Shinsuke Nakamura, the face of another promotion not named WWE, come onto WWE TV and pin him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
Hogan and like, no, brother. He doesn't even speak English, brother.
He let Kevin Owens, indie darling, beat him 1-2-3. He let Daniel Bryan, indie darling, pin him 1-2-3. He let CM Punk, now the bane of WWE's existence, pin him 1-2-3. John Cena has put more people over. I cannot think of someone who's put over more younger talent in recent memory than John Cena.
And, like, Cena's been losing a lot of clean victories lately. You know what it would take to have Hulk Hogan agree to lose a match? There had to be a lot of, like, 55 different, like, dusty things that happen in one match for to lead to Hogan taking the pin.
John Cena is a GOAT. He has to be on your list of GOATs. He has to be on your list of all-time greats. And I think we should do a special when he finally does retire of countdown our personal favorite John Cena matches, because I know I can make at least a good top five list of John Cena matches. That any wrestling purist out there would watch and be like, you know what? Dave Meltzer would rate this a five-star match.
I think one of the few... I mean, obviously they want to do the Roman Reigns-John Cena match, but I hope we get a Samoa Joe-John Cena match before that happens.
I hope... There are so many opponents in WWE that I want to see John Cena go at it. I'm selfish and want another AJ Styles match. I'd really love another Brock Lesnar match. I'd love to see Samoa Joe get it on with Cena. I'd love... I would love to see him face Kevin Owens one more time. I'd love to see him face a lot of people that are on the roster.
Yeah.
And Cesaro, another one.
Oh, God, yeah, that U.S. title invitational match.
He nearly lost to Cesaro, and I'm like, even though you knew deep down that Cena was going to win that match, part of you at least believed that Cesaro was going to pull the upset. And yep. Cena sold it so well that he made you believe that he was going to lose.
Like I said, Sami Zayn's a technically official call-up.
And Sami Zayn, too. Folks, you can name a lot of people that John Cena's faced. You can criticize Cena all you want. You can criticize Cena for being a diehard company man. You can criticize Cena for not putting over talent when he should have. You can criticize him all you want.
No. Well, okay, John Cena, though, when it comes to not putting over talent... That's him doing what the company tells him to do.
John Cena has been a yes man. I'm not going to deny that. But wouldn't you do the same exact thing in the end? You're the top guy. You're making all this money. You are this rich, this famous, this fortunate. I would do the same exact thing John Cena has. I'd do the same thing. I'd be like, you know what? The right thing to do is to put this guy over. But I'm going to turn into Super Cena, 1-2-3. I would do the same thing.
What I like, though, is now it's taking him doing more to put people down. Like, he did, like, multiple AAs to Nakamura and still lost.
That's what I like. I really like the position that John Cena's in now. And we all know he's going to get his 17th title.
Yeah.
We all know he's going to get his 17th title reign. We all know he's going to break the record. And you know what? Ric Flair should come out and present him with the title. Like him or not, John Cena is going to make pro wrestling history.
He'll get it when Baron Corbin.
So moving on from this, speaking of pro wrestling history.
Cashes. In. Sorry.
We need to talk about a couple of things here with... Thanks to Mayweather-McGregor, and thanks to this circus.
Oh, God.
Thanks to this circus that's going around with Mayweather-McGregor.
He doesn't know how to read!
That was really funny, though. I'm not going to lie. but thanks to the circus as Mayweather-McGregor, we are now seeing a crossover unlike anything we've ever seen in our lives in the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, because Jon Jones called out Brock Lesnar at the end of his UFC 214 win.
God.
And Lesnar responded. Lesnar's up for the match.
Lesnar's up for anything that pays him well.
And well, that is true,
including putting Jimmy John's logos on his tights
and throwing Dean Ambrose on a sack of chairs in a not so good match at WrestleMania. But John Jones tweeted today in response to someone asking him if he's going to appear at SummerSlam. John Jones tweeted that he might show up to SummerSlam. And I want to ask you, Mike, can you imagine if not only do we get Cyborg appearing at SummerSlam to take on Becky Lynch, even though I don't think that's going to happen, but can you imagine if John Jones appeared at SummerSlam? He is a native New Yorker.
Yep.
His hometown is New York.
So he could.
So imagine if John Jones, the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, appears at SummerSlam. In some way, shape, or form, costs Brock Lesnar the title.
Vince would start.
My God.
Vince would start splooging money.
I just want to commend the world of mixed martial arts on adapting to what pro wrestling has been doing for decades now.
Now, we mean the world of mixed martial arts, not mixed martial arts fans.
Oh, no. The fans can still, you know, eat a dick for all I care. But I want to commend the...
Yo, bro, what do you mean eat dicks, man?
I don't know what's worse, Vince Russo marks or MMA marks.
Don't get mad because you like that fake shit.
I need to commend a lot of the UFC fighters out there for adapting to the world of pro wrestling and realizing that to be successful and be an entertained star in the sport of MMA, you need to be more than just a great fighter. You need to have a personality behind you. But, and what sells a fight better than someone who can spit a lot of insults on a mic?
Stephen Bonner was the first one to really tap into that. Not Stephen Bonner, Chael Sonnen, sorry.
Chael Sonnen is one of the greatest heels I've ever seen in my life. That man, man can barely get out of the chair anymore and take a dump. Yet he is still one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen.
He still fights, though.
Oh, of course he still fights.
He's fighting Wanderlei Silva.
He fought Wanderlei Silva, and he got Silva to say, "Suck my balls," because he got under his skin so much. That's the power that Chael Sonnen has. He gets it. He knows what he has to do to sell a fight. All that shit he talked about Tito Ortiz before Ortiz's retirement after he beat the shit out of Sonnen. Chael Sonnen was never a great fighter.
No.
He was never a great fighter, but you saw him because you saw the gift of gab that he had. If more MMA fighters adopted what Chael Sonnen did and become heels or faces of their own, I guarantee it, a lot more pro wrestling fans will cross over to the world of MMA.
I mean, yeah.
And especially since now Cyborg and Becky Lynch are going at it on Twitter. I am loving this right now. And imagine if John Jones and Brock Lesnar fought. I mean, first off, let's be honest, Jones would kill him. But
I don't know.
Come on. Brock Lesnar would get destroyed by John Jones.
Okay. I mean, let's be honest. Like, Brock wouldn't have to cut at all.
No, they would fight at heavyweight.
Jones is used to cutting for 205 live.
It would be great. And I'm just very happy that a lot of MMA fighters are now embracing the pro wrestling showmanship of it. Yes, they are a real sport.
But at the same time,
They need to bring sports entertainment to the world of sports.
Well, that's saying, like, adapting, like, some fighters like a Chael Sonnen or a Conor McGregor, adapting that pro wrestling heel mindset just makes people want to buy the fight more. More people, like, people who probably were debating the fight, probably bought it now after those press conferences with the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
I mean, it's not even a fight. It's not even a real fight. And you see the Showtime is airing the 24/7 special or whatever.
Oh, God, they are.
They're showing Mayweather just go like, oh, my God, I'm getting too old for this shit. Barely even training. Punchy, I'm going to say this. This is the Great White Hype movie in real life now, Mayweather and McGregor. This is it. It is a perfect imitation of the Great White Hype. McGregor's going to come in here and do like one, two, maybe three rounds where he is on Mayweather's ass.
And then it's just
Mayweather is going to box the shit out of McGregor. We all know this is what's going to happen.
McGregor has punch a chance.
McGregor has 4 rounds to really do something. If he can't do it in 4 rounds, Mayweather is going to outbox him like it's no tomorrow. But here's the big thing. Because of Mayweather-McGregor, I truly believe we are entering a new phase of sport in the world of combat sports where there is so much transparency, so much crossover, and so many opportunities for fantasy super fights that we are entering new waters that I don't think have ever been entered before. We have Ronda Rousey appearing at the Mae Young Classic. She and the other 4 horse women of MMA are all at one point now trying. Rumors are Ronda Rousey is going to make an announcement where she's pursuing a WWE career.
Well, I know she was definitely she was definitely there because Shayna Baszler is actually in the tournament. One of the other ones is actually married to, or at least engaged to, Roderick Strong. So I think Ronda Rousey and the other one were also there to support, you know, Shayna Baszler.
And you saw they were doing a little bit of trash talking with the 4 horsewomen of WWE.
Yeah.
So imagine this. You have the 4 horsewomen of MMA versus the 4 horsewomen of WWE at Survivor Series.
Vince wants that so bad because he can practically hear the money coming out of it. Like, that would be like, they could probably do it for Survivor Series if they could get everything together. I mean, especially because now apparently Ronda Rousey's training to be a pro wrestler with Brian Kendrick. I'm sorry.
Ronda Rousey.
I'm sorry, hold on, I'm sorry. The Brian Kendrick.
Yes. Ronda Rousey, Marina Shafir, Shayna Baszler, and Jasmine Duke.
Yes.
Versus Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, and Sasha Banks at Survivor Series.
Yep.
Book that shit. Because that will not only be the highest grossing Survivor Series of all time, guarantee it, but we will never see a more crossover event in the world of MMA and pro wrestling than we will for that. Come on, are you kidding me? Ronda Rousey's debut WWE match is at Survivor Series with her 3 buddies from the MMA world,
yep,
versus the 4 women who re-pioneered women's wrestling in WWE. Folks, you don't even need to put a story behind that.
Nope.
You don't have to put anything behind that. Just book that match and watch the dollars roll in. Watch the money roll in and watch the fireworks on social media between MMA and wrestling fans. Because you cannot book anything better than that.
No. Like, it would write itself, too.
That is a legit dream match. Not only that, I really want to see Ronda Rousey in WWE. And she's put out a thing on her website saying that there's going to be major announcement soon. I mark this right here. Chris Hamill.
I'm thinking...
On August 9th, 2017, Chris Hamill is saying that Ronda Rousey is going to retire from mixed martial arts and that she signed with WWE to pursue a career in pro wrestling, citing that her idol, Rowdy Roddy Piper, her namesake, she is going to follow in her idol's footsteps
and
be a pro wrestler. And mark my words, she's going to go straight to the main roster, and I think she and the 4 horsewomen of MMA are going to face off against the 4 horsewomen of WWE. I guarantee that match is going to happen. And I hope to God it's at Survivor Series.
It'll be a fun one when it does happen, though.
Ronda Rousey is training. I think it's all but confirmed that she is training. She's always shown interest in being a pro wrestler. She's best friends with Triple H and Stephanie. And I think she's definitely athletic enough where she could do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, Ronda's one of the best crowd reaction videos to Seth Rollins turning on the Shield was Ronda Rousey.
At WrestleMania, yep, with The Rock. Because as soon as the camera pinned down at her, even before that, people knew. They were chanting Ronda Rousey. But then again, this is when Rousey was still undefeated and, like, still the badass.
Yeah.
And she's still a badass, but, you know, the women's MMA caught up to her. But that's a topic for another whole conversation. But you look like you're about to sneeze over there, buddy.
Almost. Hold that in.
I don't know. So. For folks of you who watched on video, Punchy just literally closed his eyes and was doing like you put AC/DC on the background, and Punchy's like, yeah. He looks like Brian Johnson let himself go for 20 years. But my question to you, Mike, before we transition to the next topic here. Let's say Ronda Rousey does come to WWE. And let's say that the dream match between the Four Horsewomen of MMA versus the Four Horsewomen of WWE doesn't happen. Let's say that match doesn't happen at all. Who is the person that will carry Rousey through a great rivalry and to a great match at a pay-per-view?
Okay, I think it depends on what you want to do with Ronda Rousey. Because if you want to make her heel, I would say Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch. They can go. They can wrestle. They're good enough on the microphone that they can kind of hide any weaknesses that Ronda may have. If she's face, Alexa Bliss or Charlotte. Charlotte being the better one of the two to get her work a good match with her. Work a really good match with her and make her look like $1 million.
I completely agree. I think the obvious choice there is Charlotte Flair. I think Charlotte has the verbal skills to make Rousey look good. I think she'll come off and do her elitist bitchy attitude. Yep. Like, you may be the queen of MMA, but here where the real girls play, I'm the queen. Woo! And boom, Rousey just judo flips her, puts her in armbar, makes her squeal like a baby. Separated by referees, there's your match, folks. It's the queen of WWE versus the queen of MMA.
Which, again, would write itself. Dead King says Alexa Bliss.
Oh, Dead King? Yeah.
He would say that, though.
Of course he would say that, but I think the bigger... I'm not doubting that Alexa Bliss can give a good match, but to me, if you want to start off Ronda Rousey's career in WWE with a real knockout match, you have to put her in with Charlotte Flair.
I see what you did there. Knockout match. Like I said, can't go wrong with any of the four horsewomen of WWE. Maybe including Bayley, maybe not so much so. She seems to have regressed, but that's a different topic we're going to get into.
But speaking of great rivalries, I think we need to put Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns on that list of the greatest rivalries of the past 10 years in WWE. They've had amazing matches over the past year and a half now.
Braun's not finished yet either.
No, that's absolutely right. Braun Strowman is not finished yet. And I think we need to put Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns on that list of best rivalries ever. I think they keep having entertaining match after entertaining match after entertaining match. And this Last Man Standing match on Raw this past week is no exception. He threw a fucking rolling chair at Roman Reigns. And Reigns plopped down. You could almost have like Mario sound effects underneath it. When Mario gets hit by an enemy and shrunk down to little Mario, yep. Now, you could put that sound effect there, and it would be hilarious.
I'm surprised no one has yet.
That is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life, and I have that GIF on standby on my phone now because of how hilarious that was.
It was pretty funny when I saw it.
I mean, all of us, even Zombie King over there, I think we can all agree that the person who we feel like in the past year has been booked unanimously, consistently great is Braun Strowman. You can't not book this guy well.
Zombie King replied with, Alexa, boy.
You can't not book Braun Strowman correct. You can't not book him bad. He's one of those people that just goes out. All he has to do is say, I'm not finished with you. I enjoy watching Roman Reigns in pain. And he got a huge pop from that. He got a huge pop from the audience when he said, I love watching Roman's bones break at my grip.
Yeah.
That made the audience laugh.
Like, it's very, like, again, this is an example of simple but effective as far as writing for a character goes. Very minimalist with Strowman. They didn't have to do much with him. And he's been running with it so much that the crowd is turning in his favor. I mean, granted, they're not booing him as much because he's facing Roman Reigns, so the guy facing Roman Reigns gets cheered. But,
I mean, he is very loudly being cheered versus Roman Reigns.
Almost as loudly as Roman gets booed.
I mean, you saw on Raw this past Monday, you saw the announcement for the Last Man Standing match. You saw Strowman get cheered. Yay, Strowman. Then you see the face of Roman. Boo! It's incredible to watch Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns work together. And a lot has to be said about Roman Reigns as an in-ring performer. Granted, he is where Cena was.
Yeah.
About a decade ago. He's where John Cena was. We all know he's going to win. We all know he's going to come out on top. We all know he's going to be the champion. And that's why we boo for. That's why we boo him and cheer for anyone who goes against him. But even when Cena was in his LOL Cena wins Super Cena days, you give him a great match, and we'll at least respect it. We know he'll win, but we'll at least respect it. And I think that's what we need to say to Roman Reigns. We need to acknowledge that Roman Reigns, when it's all said and done,
is going to probably win.
I truly believe that Roman Reigns is a good wrestler. I boo his character. I boo his booking. I boo the fact that I know he's being shoved down our throats. But I like Roman Reigns as a wrestler.
I mean, I'm not sure about that as far as Reigns as a wrestler. I think he's still unpolished. He can get there. I think him being hot shot did not help him at all. But I don't know if I would put him as a great in-ring wrestler right now. He's kind of got he's starting to get the personality, but as they make him heal it up a bit. But other than that, in-ring, I don't think he's quite finished yet.
And I don't think Roman's done with rubbing in that he beat The Undertaker. He still says, I retired The Undertaker, and this is my yard now. God, as a diehard Undertaker fan here, as a Undertaker mark sort of say, I just noticed I made a pun. As a gigantic Undertaker fan, even when I see Roman Reigns say, this is my yard now, I'm like, oh, fuck you, Roman.
And he's
I love booing Roman Reigns when he does this.
The fact that you said, fuck you, Roman, shows that whatever they had him do worked.
It absolutely works. I'm not denying that it doesn't work. I love booing Roman Reigns. I love cheering for anyone who goes against him.
Yeah, me too, actually. Especially live, like just being there for the sea of boos and cheering on whoever he happened to be facing. One of the better live feelings.
And my final, the final thing I want to address tonight is, we saw Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come out and just obliterate The Miz and his Miztourage. And we saw what Heyman called a preview of SummerSlam. And needless to say, it did not go very well for The Miz and his Miztourage.
No, not at all.
So I want to say to you, and I'll put it out there to Zombie King as well. I'm going to go as far as to say that the manager-wrestler combo of Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman is without a doubt on the top five I've ever seen. They have been so good for so long. I mean, Paul Heyman has to be on your top five best managers of all time list.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's up there with Bobby Heenan as probably the best. And Brock Lesnar, yeah, he can't talk on the mic that well. And when he does talk, his voice is a little more high-pitched the voice that comes out of his mouth from the body of his size is a little high-pitched. So it's not really that intimidating. It's not really intimidating.
I'm going to go have a steak and marry my wife. Paul's like, let me just handle this for you.
Exactly. So when you see Brock Lesnar just standing there holding the title, laughing and looking intimidating, and Paul Heyman selling this,
it's a fantastic dynamic.
And I'm going to give Zombie King credit this, but Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan is the last one I could think of where I'm like, okay, this is a perfect marriage of wrestler and manager. And I can't think of anyone else besides Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan that never have worked so well together as much as Lesnar and Heyman. Can you?
I mean, Heenan worked well with Andre the Giant. Heyman, I mean, you could also give competition from the Heyman-Punk pairing, because that was one of the other ones in WWE that truly worked, but for very different reasons than Lesnar-Heyman worked.
But my question is there anyone not named Brock Lesnar or not named Paul Heyman that have worked so well together? You have Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. You have Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan. I mean, is there anyone that's more iconic? I mean, you have the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, but the wrestlers had their own personality. Cornette was just, he was a very entertaining manager, but he was just a manager.
Yeah, he was more, but he was also more of a backstage guy working as a manager as well. Oh, man. I honestly can't.
Like, it's really hard to think of two people who just worked so well together and just completed the other person.
I can't think of anybody who, as far as managers go, are even close to the level of a Heyman or a Bobby Heenan. So if we're not including Heyman and we're not including Heenan, there's no one else who even touches either of them.
Again, Bobby Heenan has managed a lot of people. Who can forget? Who can forget his run with Mr. Perfect? China, before she became a wrestler, managed DX. But even then, still nowhere near as good.
No, yeah.
As Lesnar and Heyman.
I mean, you could say Miss Elizabeth and Randy. Again, for different reasons.
And Sensational Sherry as well.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase has and Virgil, like,
and Ted DiBiase was a pretty good manager too. I mean, they gave him bad writing, but he had pretty good chops as a manager.
I want to put this out there, and I'm going to put it on the Twitter account. Who can you name a better wrestler manager combination than Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman? So, with that, I'm going to switch it over to Mike here. He's going to lead the final two topics of the night. So, Mike, what's the first thing you want to get talk about?
Okay, got a quick hit here. So, there's a rumor going around. As you guys all know, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, in separate weeks, debuted on NXT TV, facing Aleister Black. This is going with rumors that they're going to do an NXT faction of former Ring of Honor guys. So, two of the names mentioned for that faction were Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And that, coupled with speculation that Adam Cole was going to be signing and joining, leads you to believe that this faction is probably going to be Adam Cole and Red Dragon. And I'm not complaining about that at all. And if I were to guess if this happens, when it would happen, it might happen at the end of TakeOver. Like, we may see them come out and waylace to both Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. Like, that match might end up being a no contest. But I like the idea. I kind of like the idea. You can almost frame it as Ring of Honor guys coming to get payback for the fact that WWE is poaching Ring of Honor talent.
I think it would be a great way to show that they're taking people like Adam Cole and Red Dragon seriously, especially after that each guy had great matches against Aleister Black in consecutive tapings. So, Hammy, what do you think as far as factions of other of Ring of Honor wrestlers in NXT? Do you think that will hold weight, or do you think that's something that will let them develop their own personalities but eventually be scrapped when they all move to the main roster?
I think, like with anything that comes over, I think history will show us that when it comes to outside talent in WWE, they appear as themselves for a brief moment, for a month or two. They are the characters that we know them as, and then they get watered down WWE versions of their characters. So if Adam Cole Bay Bay comes in, I think we're going to see a couple of weeks of Adam Cole Bay Bay before we get Adam Cole Bay.
Adam Cole Bay? But no, I hope he does the Adam Cole Bay Bay thing. Kind of like I'm glad
that might be, you know what? That'll be the call for his finisher. He's not going to be Adam Cole Bay Bay, but I think in the ring before he calls for his finishing maneuver, he's going to shout Bay Bay. I think that's how WWE will do it. And I think if we ever got something like the Bullet Club, I mean, we already saw it. We already saw the Bullet Club. They just called themselves a club.
Yeah. Nerds.
Yeah, and now they're the every jock in high school ever tag team.
There was a funny video of them with Nia Jax fucking with a backstage interviewer.
The backstage interviews, I think, are more entertaining than the product themselves. Seeing Nia Jax ride a little tricycle with Alexa Bliss on her back is very entertaining. She's like fucking Lurch from the Munsters, Nia Jax.
And Alexa's just tiny.
So,
and speaking of the women's division, though, to wrap up the night. Now, Monday night on Raw, Bayley had a speech about having to not wrestle at SummerSlam because of a shoulder injury. And she ended up getting boos.
A lot of boos.
I mean, this was a weird Canadian crowd, so that could play into it as well. But that's always what people would think in first glance. But she's been getting boos more often than not at shows, like in the main U.S. I myself feel that it's kind of a lean mixture of a failed push. And the fact that maybe Bayley just doesn't have what it takes to thrive on the main roster. Because, I mean, she can technically say she might be a better wrestler than Charlotte, but she's not showing it on the main roster. She's not adapting well to the shortened match times. I mean, in NXT, you kind of benefit from getting lengthier match times for the most part. And even if you get a longer match, they can just edit down the match to fit whatever time slot they or whatever time they want to use to fill in that gap with that match for the episode. So honestly, I think it's just barely not like going from getting 20 minutes a match at an NXT takeover to getting maybe 10, 12 minutes at a main roster pay-per-view. That's an adjustment. But her mic skills definitely are not something that was an adjustment. She just doesn't have it on the microphone. And that, I mean, you can get away with not having that on NXT with that crowd, but with the main roster crowd, you need to be able to know how to talk. Even if it's just passable talking at a Marvel thing, or you know, like she can't sound natural when she's talking on the microphone.
No, I completely agree. She just fell flat.
It sounds like
on the main roster.
It sounds like she's reading a teleprompter. That's what it sounds
like. Right? It does. It sounds like she read a script and memorized it and is trying her best to remember it.
But she sounds like the nervous girl in high school reading from a teleprompter.
When I know she's better than that. That's what's annoying about this.
Is she better at that? Or was NXT doing a much better job of hiding the fact that she's awkward when doing promos?
That could be it, too. But either way, I think Bayley peaked at TakeOver Brooklyn 2 versus Sasha Banks. I think that's when Bayley peaked.
Brooklyn 1.
Oh, it was there. Brooklyn 1? Okay.
I was there.
I think that's when she peaked.
But, like, this is a Bayley promo in a nutshell.
I'm nervous, and I like to hug people. I just remember that. I'm gonna hide in my shell in a second. I'm inspirational, and hugs. I'm gonna win the title. It's my dream.
I'll gladly give Bailey a hug if it means she gets a better promo.
Like, but her promos are just generic babyface promos, which Charlotte doesn't get because Charlotte can work the mic. Sasha doesn't get. I know Sasha gets shit for being subpar in the microphone, but Sasha at least knows how to work her character to make the promo work, especially in a feud, like when she was feuding with Alexa Bliss. It fit perfectly.
Zombie King is a very good point, by the way. Zombie King communicating to us via the from the grave here. At least we're not getting that awful rumored Bailey's never been kissed story.
Oh, thank God.
That is huge sign of relief here.
I'm so glad that died a painful death. Honestly, I don't know if Bailey's fixable. I know there's talk of sending people back down to NXT. Bailey could probably use that along with Enzo for different reasons, but
Enzo, because there's just no place for him on the main roster. I mean,
No. Enzo, because he won't shut his mouth backstage and gets himself in trouble.
That too. And I think Bailey, because I think she may have been called up too soon.
No, I don't.
I think she was called up too soon and or she just wasn't ready.
I just think she wasn't ready. She might not have it. She might not have that ability to talk on the microphone. And I think she's too nervous to the point where it's affecting her in-ring ability. Because at least you could say she was better, good in. At least you could say back in NXT. Well, okay, she's a little awkward on the microphone, but she can.
God
work
damn it, that girl can wrestle.
Yeah, she had some fucking great matches, and
I think her matches were dumbed down because I think you're right. She was given at least twice as long in NXT match times versus main roster match times. So I think her in-ring work suffered because of that. But I can't remember a time where a Bailey promo blew me away.
They don't. They don't blow you away.
They don't. I mean, when Bailey comes down and she does her hug thing, that blows me away, but in a different way. But her promos, I turn into King when it comes to Alexa Bliss, when it comes to Bailey. But Bailey's promos are just not good.
And here's the thing, too. Bailey's a veteran in wrestling. She's been wrestling for even since before going to WWE. And Alexa, as far as on the microphone, Alexa Bliss has surpassed Bailey on the microphone.
I think Alexa Bliss has surpassed basically everyone.
A lot of people, but she's got far less experience than Bailey, and she runs circles around her on the microphone.
And a lot of people complain about Alexa Bliss. Oh, she's just doing a basic bitch routine. To which I respond with, okay, and Sasha Banks says sweetheart every other word. Do you like that? Do you like Charlotte Flair just doing the old, my dad's famous and therefore I'm a bitch too? I mean, are we trying to go for complete originality here, folks? You do what you're good at. If yeah. Alexa Bliss is good at being a basic bitch,
let her be a basic bitch.
If Charlotte Flair is really good with being, hey, my dad's arguably the greatest of all time, let her do that. That's perfect for her to do that. If Sasha Banks can do the girl on the street routine, let her do it. Who cares about what their characters are doing? I care about what they do in the ring.
Well, the thing is, though, what their characters are doing impacts a lot of things about them. If Bailey struggles when they try to do the hit hole, she's like an adult child gimmick. If the main roster crowd doesn't take to it, then they don't give a shit about her match. And if they don't give a shit about her match, she could be doing 5-star work, but a silent crowd will just make it.
I'm with Zombie Kane on this. Take away the hugger gimmick. The hugger gimmick has run its course. Give her a fresh gimmick where she cannot do that much talking and just kick ass in the ring.
I agree. I just don't know if she can pull it off.
We will find out. And that concludes our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for watching. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter, and Zombie King is at King on the Air. He will hopefully be back next week. Seriously, he had some foot surgery tonight. Let's not joke around here. He's had some conditions where he needed surgery today, and it was a success. He gets to keep his foot, and hopefully, speedy recovery, and he's back with us next week. So, best wishes, buddy. We will hopefully see you next week, and... this has been Calf Crusher Radio. Same bat time, same bat network. See you next week.